Hello, fellow podcast travelers. Welcome to Saybrook Insights, a production of Saybrook University, an online, nonprofit, private, regionally accredited university headquartered in Pasadena, California. Celebrating 50 years this year, our humanistic approach to online education has resulted in thousands of alumni the world over advancing the health and well-being of the communities we serve. My name is Nathan Long, president of the university and host of this podcast. And in today's episode, Dr. Mary Kay Chess comes back on to discuss additional thoughts she has on leadership in these very difficult and uncertain times. Grounded in adaptive leadership concepts and principles, Dr. Chess provides several insights that will be helpful to leaders navigating these very choppy waters. I am always inspired by my conversations with Mary Kay, and I have every confidence this episode will inspire you. To learn more about Saybrook University, visit us online at www.saybrook.edu. And now, Dr. Mary Kay Chess. Dr. Chess, welcome back to Saybrook Insights. It's really good to have you back after that enlivened session we had with you and Dr. Hayashi. Your insights on healthcare and organizational systems from our last interview were really timely and poignant. I thought today we could have you back and explore for just a few minutes some of your thoughts around adaptive leadership, business in general, systems, collaboration and cooperation. But before we do that, if you wouldn't mind talking to our audience who may not have heard you before, a little bit about who you are, your background, your experience, where you've worked, and how you ended up at Saybrook. Just a few things that we can understand the wonderful Mary Kay Chess behind the Saybrook Academic.
Thank you, Nathan. It is just a delight to be back and ponder many of these concepts with you and with our audience. I had the privilege of being in healthcare on the administrative end. I've never been a provider, but I've had the privilege of working with some of the most incredible providers in systems that went across the United States, served patients and community members across the United States. Was actually working with an entity in the state of Oregon, actually, where all the hospitals who could have been seen as competitors actually worked together on many issues, not just supply issues, but also clinical practices. And so from that journey of being an executive in healthcare systems to actually working in a very unique model, I began to wonder about how we're preparing leaders of the future. It's not quite a cookie cutter anymore, if we can use that image. It's much more complex, and I became fascinated with bringing up our next kind of group of leaders to deal effectively in messy systems with crazy questions never expected. And of course, our current situation with the virus just makes that point clear. How do we lead through ambiguity? And Saybrook, with its background and its focus on humanistic endeavors and scholarship, really lends itself to preparing leaders for the future, Nathan. Mm-hmm. I see that every time I connect on Monday night with a group of students who come together to say, how do we make sense of this particular virus? So it's a little bit about my background and how I came to Saybrook and how now I have the privilege of working with some of the most incredible leaders that we're going to unleash on this world.
Oh, that's terrific. Thank you for that introduction. We really appreciate it. So I know you have a lot of passion around collaboration and looking at how we continue to innovate and share ideas across industries. Tell me a little bit about this notion of competition and collaboration can coexist. And I think you and I in previous conversations, you were really excited that you've seen this start to manifest in today's sort of crisis environment surrounding not only the pandemic, but the economic fallout as a result. So we'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Oh, thanks. You know, I've just been honored to be a member of or part of discussions or facilitating inquiries about how to move with purpose and yet incredible flexibility as leaders really face a series of situations that they never had an opportunity to even think would remotely land on their desk. So how do we get supplies for our staff? And how do we get them quickly? How do we know what data is out there to pull from? So kind of from the macro to the micro, supplies versus what's happening in the world. And I'll just give you an example of an association who's pulled together network leaders from around the United States. I was on a call with them last week. And every step of the way in this virus, I think, Nathan, what we've been seeing as leaders have dealt with it effectively, despite not knowing any answers, is that they're taking one step at a time in many respects. So on this call, let me give you an example. One of the leaders on the call happened to be the network leader for all hospitals in the state of Virginia. She also is an attorney by training. So she has been able to leverage her knowledge of how you access supplies for all her hospitals in her state through understanding contractual language, how to call vendors, how to put together a contract that really took her many, many nights, many, many hours, kind of what everyone is working during this time. And she was able to share that information with her colleagues across the United States. Another leader in West Virginia, for example, was able to pull together a wonderful partnership to get ambulances cleaned and turned around very, very quickly. And using an unorthodox or an unusual or a new partnership. But how important is it to clean an ambulance? And the third example goes to that question about what are we really seeing and what can we expect? And so they put together a state database that actually showed where are the comorbidities that are so important for a diagnostic and assessment process. What are the current cases that we have? What therefore might we see? And this is a refreshed and updated database or scorecard that the state, then all hospitals, providers, policymakers are able to look at and make some thoughtful assessments. That kind of innovation and taking that time, Nathan, I think really goes to the leadership we're seeing. Innovation, willingness to listen, and willingness to not panic, but sit in the ambiguity and the Irish bog. With all due respect to my Irish ancestors.
Oh, that's fantastic in terms of how you captured that. And what I'm really hearing from you, maybe I'm not capturing this correctly, so educate me. Sounds like this is more of an approach to adaptive leadership or adaptive leadership in action. While they're addressing some real technical challenges that might be affecting how they're delivering care or how they're connecting within their community, these are adaptive issues that they're adaptive leadership challenges that they're trying to address systemically to change the organization. Is that a fair assessment, or would you capture that differently?
You know, I think that's a really fair assessment. And adaptive leadership, just, and I promise not to keep my professor hat on for any length of time, but adaptive leadership is really a model that came from Ronald Heifetz out of Harvard, and it's as much alive, or probably more so alive, than when he and his colleagues first introduced it. And in terms of the example I just gave you, it is both the technical getting a contract done that can go out to across the United States for particularly hospital coordinator or those coordinating care for hospitals or supplies for hospitals. That's a technical answer. And yeah, then going to the balcony. So dance floor and balcony. How do you know what needs to be done to get supplies and those incredible providers out there on the front line? Then going to the balcony and saying, what can I see is coming? What's coming next? What can I possibly begin to work with my colleagues to address? So dance floor, balcony, technical issues, complex issues, all within a system that's really kind of reverberating. with the most volatility that we've seen probably ever, at least in our many of us in our lifetime.
For sure. And a lot of what you're talking about in terms of these specific cases seems to rely on ongoing, a lot of times probably rapid communication processes across multiple different stakeholders. It seems to me like we need to be thinking about as leaders and as those who are supporting our leadership, ways in which we can communicate differently to exist differently in this environment. And you really gave some, I think, very poignant examples here. What would you describe, or how would you describe our need to communicate differently, especially now in the age of COVID-19? But maybe it's something that will continue and pass this pandemic.
Well, that's such a great question. When we think about communication, in my mind, I've been going to some work that Otto Scharmer introduced out of MIT about communication. And I think the first step in communication is to think about yourself, be very selfish. Because as leaders, understanding where we are personally, like, are we feeling overwhelmed today? Are we feeling full of purpose and really focused? Are we feeling exhausted? Knowing where we are ourselves allows us then to be really clear in the communication we're giving others. And if we're not clear about where we are, that communication, which is so important at this point in time to be crystal clear on and to not make promises that really just can't be kept, and yet to demonstrate empathy, that is asking so much of people who are accustomed to being clear and giving directives and having answers out there. And so checking in on self first, seeing where you are, and then that rule of communication, 14 times, 14 different ways, 14 times, 14 different ways, and maybe we compound that. And we realize that people are suddenly perhaps working remotely. And so that connectivity they have literally around the espresso machine isn't there anymore. So how do we over Zoom create connectivity as we give these 14 or 16 messages to very different people in very different situations? So checking in on self, then how we give the messages, that we give the messages 16 times, and that we're tireless about it. We really need to be really tireless. Nathan, we talked the last time about your hosting, for example, Monday morning encounters, and faculty and students can come. It doesn't matter if 5 come or 50 come. The fact that someone needed that and someone needs to come, that's a venue that attracts them. Then putting out newsletters, then putting out Zoom sessions. I host one on Monday night for the students in my classes. And many of those students are leaders in education or with consulting firms. And so they're coming not only for best practices, but just to say, oh my gosh, I have never dealt with not having answers. And so being able to say, often you won't have answers, but you will have responsibility for continuing to lead. So how do we say, let's just stay the course. Let's make sure we're focused on each other and those customers or students or patients we serve. Do it to the best of our ability together. And then we'll watch and see how tomorrow and next month unfolds, because we really don't know answers at this point. We just have lots of juicy questions.
You really captured the idea of not knowing, but still being required to lead. And that is a scary proposition for a lot of people to be in. How do you move through that? How do you really flow through those emotions, right, that come with that, where you don't know? You're walking into a staff meeting, or you're walking into your cabinet meeting, and you just have no idea really what the answer is. I think both of us could probably count on multiple hands. The colleagues that we have who are facing those situations. In fact, you and I were just talking about that before this session, that many of my colleagues and many of yours are going through that right now. How do you navigate those waters of not knowing yet still having to lead? You alluded to some areas. I'd love to hear more from you on that.
Yeah, I'm going to answer that question. I need to pause just for a second and think. That is such a great question. I want to answer it from the adaptive leadership perspective, because I think that will keep our framework intact a little bit. From a technical perspective, let's start on the dance floor and think about that. One of the things that I have really been in my mentoring practice, really encouraging leaders to think about, is their own energy and the need to take a breath, breathing in and breathing out. It may sound simple, but you cannot sustain relentless Zoom meetings for 12 and 14 hours like we have been doing. So how do you make a break in there? What if we scheduled meetings to be only 45 minutes so that you have 15 minutes to literally get this body up and get it moving? That's a technical solution, but one that's so critical for us in our heads to be able to say, here's what I heard in this last meeting. Because some of what we're hearing, we need to reflect on independently and together, but we won't be able to do that unless we have time. So don't book the Zoom meetings back to back or go to meeting back to back. The second thing is realize your own strength as a leader. How robust do you feel about delivering messages alone? This is the time to begin to literally build up your leadership bench in your organization. Bring others along to be in this process. It's kind of like geese flying. The front bird, when that gets tired, that bird goes to the back of the line and someone else takes the place. This is a perfect time, strangely enough, to begin to build your leader bench and just have other people begin to facilitate meetings, begin to pose questions. And the third way, if we go to the balcony, and this I'm going to draw from Mary Oliver, anyone who enjoys poetry. Poetry has been my kind of go-to during this this virus, as I've been responsible to groups of leaders. She had in her poetry three pieces of wisdom that I think are so important during this for communication, for self-care, for care of organizations, because leaders have that responsibility and wouldn't step into that position, whether it's the leadership of a department, a surgical unit, an organization, a hospital, whatever it might be. Here's her three propositions. The first is to stay awake. So judge yourself. Are you able to stay awake with this pace you're setting? That self-awareness communicates it to your team and to your staff. So stay awake. And then the second one is be prepared to be astonished. And I think probably all of us throughout this entire time and probably hourly can really say, yep, I have been astonished. And the third that Mary Oliver has always talked about in her poetry that reaches all of us and connects us to one another is to share. And so give staff an opportunity to say, what do you need to say to be present? What one word describes what you're feeling today? And as we've been observing, moving through this, Nathan, I don't know about you. Someone described it yesterday as the dragon's tail, that jagged dragon's tail. We go up, we go down, we go up, we go down. And sometimes we're just on the point of that dragon's, the dilemma of we can slide up or down. So just be aware of where you are. Allow other people to be there, because we're not going back to normal. Mm-hmm. We're creating something that we can't even yet clearly see. And that's balcony work.
That's really, really great advice. Stay awake, prepare to be astonished, and share.
Yeah. Seems simple, doesn't it?
Right? The first one especially. I mean, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head. 2 weeks ago, I don't think I was quite awake for a meeting I was in. And you don't realize it, right? I think we've all found ourselves not prepared to be astonished. both good and bad, right? That we just kind of, wouldn't you argue that that's really about being present, being prepared to be astonished in terms of what's there, in terms of the good and bad? Or is there a different way to read that particular way of what Mary Oliver is saying?
Yeah, I think this, gosh, you just kind of nailed it, Nathan, and we're hearing a whole lot about leaders at this point. Again, whatever your position in the organization or community might be, that need to realize that the breath we take in is the moment that we have right now.
That's right.
We can't borrow a breath from yesterday or last week, or we can't yet borrow a breath from tomorrow or next month. But what we can do is that breath in and out today. So are we aware of our surroundings? Are we aware, and are we willing to? One of the other statements that Ronald Heifetz has made is, be willing as a leader to listen to those whispers in the wind, those voices that they may not know, just like each leader may not know exactly how they're going to navigate forward, but listen, share it, mm-hmm. ask for that contribution, and be willing to have your voice heard. Now is probably not the time to hold back wisdom or to hold back thoughts, because we never know how those might combine to create the next amazing innovation.
That's
so
right.
We need all kind of hands, minds, and probably hearts.
Well, staying awake, definitely preparing to be astonished and sharing are all key elements there, along with the wise words you've imparted to us around adaptive leadership and collaboration. I think it's those are the watchwords, I think, as we move forward, together into these next few months that are definitely uncharted waters. And certainly, I think from your own vantage point, you bring a sense of clarity to those of us who are leading organizations in this environment. And I really, really appreciate your wisdom, Mary Kay, that really speaks through, and your kind soul, but also you're kind, and you're also able to cut through it and get right to the nut of what is at issue, and that takes a great deal of heart and of understanding. So we really appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Nathan. It's just my thanks to the great mentors I've had and the people building leaders to take us forward into the future. What a gift we have.